Good call.
We will now.
Can you hear me, Kate?
Yeah. We'll go ahead and open this meeting of the Ad Hoc Sustainability Committee at 2:01 PM. I'll call, roll call. Joshua
here.
Stove. Okay, Don Norton.
I'm here.
And Kate Reed is here. We're all here. My only comments from the chair is that we are going to review the minutes and approve them. Does anyone have any additions or changes to the minutes?
I mean, what other additions? This is awesome minutes. I was going to say, I was like, I mean, not that you haven't already set a high bar for yourself, Lynn, but I'm just saying those are great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Without further ado, is there a motion to approve the minutes?
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Yes.
Favor.
Yeah, favor. Sorry.
Okay, so Camille just did a little copy and paste, so it looks very similar to the last agenda. But we did come up with some things that we were going to work on for this meeting. And I had Camille print out the mission and vision, kind of adopted from what we reviewed last time from LA Metro. And then I put in our current mission as it exists on the website in bold. And then I feel like both bolded pieces of this mission and vision need help.
Okay.
Is how I felt about it.
And I don't know if you just want to dive into this. I have a list of things to consider for us to go through today as well.
Sure.
I don't fear we will run out of time, but do you want me to just sort of name these things right now?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we've got 2 hours. Oh, and I just want to say that there's a potential that I might need to leave during the meeting, but I will let you know.
Okay.
I will not just walk out.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Do you guys want to sit at the table? I mean, this is kind of silly.
Well, no, this is fine. We reserve it kind of for the actual committee members, so we can differentiate.
Okay. Okay. I just want to acknowledge I have my back to people, and I'm fine.
Do you want to sit over here, Josh?
Well, then we're all clustered.
Yeah.
Okay, then it's us versus them. Okay.
Okay. So let's hear your list of things to go over beyond the 4-piece list that we had from last time.
Right. So the City of Eugene revision of its climate action plan is out, and transit tomorrow. Let's just say that transit is mentioned. I think that's something for us to chat about briefly. That's number one. Number two, I want to make sure we decide on your behalf, like what to report out at the meeting on Wednesday. I just wanted to make sure that's sort of a task. I have to, this makes more room in the meeting. I have to apologize for having done no work on assembling cost effectiveness language. Sorry, I had trouble wrestling my month to the ground since we last met, more than a month. So I don't have anything on that, but I think we could still make a plan because we can talk about the time frame of stuff Kelly has planned. And then I spoke with Brendan Finn in the governor's office, and just cause trying to do some background research on some of the things we've talked about. And so I have like a quick report, but actually it gives us a little bit of direction on things, especially positions, like especially the way to approach lobbying. Just as foreshadowing, I'll say, he didn't just say yes to the things that I wanted, so you'll be excited to hear how he amended my view of the world. But those were the things I wanted to touch on.
Okay, and then from last time, we have this mission. We have, I think, the climate change policy around transit. That's what I have written down. I think maybe that will be the place to talk about the cap from the city. We have tangible changes as one of the things that we were wanting to work on this time. And then fleet and fuel procurement cost effectiveness language. So those are just from before. So I think that let's go through the pieces that you have, the 3.
Do you want to do those first?
Yeah, because I feel like...
Yeah, and they're actually pretty quick, and they might even help us sort of think more about this.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so And I haven't been through all of it because it just came out, but the City of Eugene Climate Action Plan 2.0, CAP 2.0, I believe it's called, mentions transit, but there is an absence of really concrete stuff, like timeline. So I think there is a little bit of a void to fill for us in talking with the City of Eugene about that. I'm being vague because I don't have a totally clear thing what that means, but I think, I guess I'm bringing it up because I don't want the city to be like, yeah, transit, should do that, and not have anything specific attached, and then for us to say, yes, climate action, and then for, you know, specific collaboration to sort of fall into the void in between. I think it would be very easy. AJ might be able to do this off the top of her head to some degree. There are things to articulate that the city and the agency are already collaborating on, sometimes only implicitly about climate, but sometimes explicitly so. Well, I don't know if there's any explicit, but I think anytime we're working on intersections that, I mean, I'm thinking about the one at 18th and Oak Patch that was explicitly about safety. Safety is about transit, among other things. So we're doing things like that that are advancing, you know, that are sort of advancing a sustainable transportation system broadly. Maybe it'd be neat to see a little inventory of those things. But I guess I'm just more interested in helping to have something concrete in the city's climate action planning. And I think they're going to hear, I mean, from what I've heard chatting with people, 350 and a couple of other folks, like, I think people are going to look at that CAP 2.0 and say that is insufficiently specific, and so transit is one of the areas. So we should be ready to pitch in.
Yeah. Are you speaking specifically about the project proposal or what? Because looking at their webpage, Climate Action Plan 2.0.
Let me bring it up.
I just, what I want to be able to come out of this is not a bunch of hypotheticals and what we could, should, and maybe might want to do. I would like real tangible pieces of what we can do as a transit district in influencing any of this kind of stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think what I'm saying is consistent with that in that, like, the city has proposed something, has sort of suggested fairly prominently that transit is part of the climate action plan, but without specificity about time frame. So it would be good to be able to offer them something, especially related maybe to like transit tomorrow.
So what do you mean by that time frame? Do you mean for their GHG reductions or for?
Yeah, good question. I'm just going to say, you're welcome to come to the table at any time. I'm just going to say that and talk about this, too, if you want. No pressure. Right now, it's not clear in the Climate Action Plan what is going to happen with transit on any time frame at all.
Isn't that our job, though, not the city's job?
Yeah, but we don't have a climate action plan, and we're not the principal stewards of the whole transportation system, so it'd be nice for us to be able to say to them, say this specific stuff to the public as part of your plan so it's clear that we're working together on this.
Yes, could you articulate a vision of what you'd like to see us do?
Sure. I'm saying sure to your question. I think the real answer is no, I can't extemporaneously. I'm not prepared to say all of that because the plan just came out and I'd want it to be kind of integrated with their plan. But for example, if you look at the TSP, the Transportation System Plan, has a bunch of like grandiose but vague and with far out timelines attached, actions attached. It would be great if we actually were working with the city to say, we want to, you know, in support of your community GHG reduction goals, looks like then we need to get this level of transit ridership. Here's what it takes to get on that path. Here's what we are doing to achieve that. So none of that specificity is there right now.
No, we're already going through the transit tomorrow and all of that stuff to address that. I guess I'm looking for something. Well, what I'm looking for is a collaboration using the efforts that we have. You know, we have the LCOG and we have Lane County and we have the City of Eugene and City of Springfield and try to get a whole metro area focus on what can this community do now, rather than all of us kind of bumping around with, you know, these plans that are put out there. So what I wanted to propose before, and what I can do again, is that we fund a staff position, you know, maybe only, you know, 2 hours a month or something, but that person would come from our agency and we would get all of the other agencies on board to also fund a staff position that they would work specifically and have their task to address that. Now that would entail probably a few months of just, you know, staring at one another and saying, well, you know, what's this? What can we do with this? But I believe that given the focus, that something would come out. And really, I would like to see physical, visible action, you know, even if it's, oh, okay, there's a solar panel there, or there's a, you know, something that people walking down the street can say, yes, we're at least doing something. So that would, my proposal would be then to staff a position to do that.
Beyond Kelly's position, or as
maybe in addition to Kelly's position. Okay. I mean, she knows she would be the ideal candidate, but then instead of just working on LTD issues, she'd be working on the whole world, you know. But just as much as
no
we can,
big deal.
As much as this spot on the earth can address, you know.
So maybe we could ask AJ if that's part of what Kelly's work plan entails, is working with this, like, an interagency sustainability coordinator type thing.
Kelly makes great use of her time, in addition with helping us internally here with our sustainability analysis goals, helping us put a plan together, working with our fleet deployment, which is actually some of the heavy lifts she's working on right now. She also works with the cities, I think at the state level. She's also working nationally with other transit agencies to look at what they're doing. So we make sure that we're capturing all best practices and maximizing the decisions we're making. And she also regularly volunteers to speak to community organizations. I think Don and a few of you others have been present, in which Kelly goes out into the community and speaks about what LTD is doing and what that all means. So she does a lot of that heavy lift already. But if there's something other than what she is doing, and she is the contact for the Climate Action Plan 2.0, and when she was on an extended leave, Mark and I were meeting, but we were happy when she came back to hand it back over, because the work really gets done when she's here and is able to really move the needle on that. So she is active in all of those meetings. I think it doesn't move fast enough because, you know, the city is a big organization. So what we really have our focus is on things where we can influence it. But they called all those meetings. We don't call those meetings. And it works pretty much on their schedule. But if there's something else, I mean, I think we're interested in hearing, like, what we could have an influence on changing. And
And with the CAP 2.0 group, were there members from all over the community?
Oh, yeah. So there's, yeah, there's.
So I think that
it was much more of a stakeholder process than it was a planning process.
Yeah. So I think that work is happening as far as from the 30,000-foot view.
Yeah.
But what I feel like you're talking about is on the ground. feet on the ground.
You know, so that we're actually, I mean, I hear these, well, the school district is doing this, and the eWeb's doing that, and stuff, and maybe all of everybody's communicating. But I feel like, well, maybe again, it's just visual things, just something, and we say, okay, this, we're taking this as serious, you know, our children are out in the streets saying, if we've got to do something, what are we doing specifically? And we say, well, we have these plans that we've put in effect, and we're doing them, you know, for 5 years, we've been working on this, for 10 years, we've been working on this, and it's all true, but it's just kind of an effort to accelerate it, to make it feel like this, you know, this really is, we're running out of time, you know, we can't just keep thinking about these things. And then, of course, we want to do something effective. Now, what that effective thing is, that's what I would hope would come out of a study group that, well, not just essentially a study group, but a work group that would help define what this, the people in this spot on the earth who could do something, you know, how do we relate to it and to the whole ecosystem of the earth, you know, like, okay, we're going to have to deal with fires maybe, so maybe we have to get involved with the BLM and with the Forest Service and everything, you know, but at least expend out from there and get that discussion seriously going and organized in this spot on the earth.
You had notes?
Well, I was just going to kind of loop us back in, because I feel like that's something that we as individuals should definitely be doing. I don't know as a transit district how much influence we can have in that area other than how Kelly is being integrated into the sustainability activities locally. And then what we're doing here to create a policy for our board and how to kind of move forward with addressing sustainability and reduction of GHG. So and maybe there's some answers in what Brendan had to say from the state level on what kind of influence we could actually have as a special purpose district. That's kind of where I want to bring it back to with this, because we don't have the ability to impact a lot of other things outside of the scope of buses, changing behavior. So it's like what the city has, the mitigation and adaptation stage. So that's kind of where we're at with looking at how we can reduce our GHG. And then there's the individual action behavior change program, which is how we can help people adapt their changes and ride the bus and walk and bike and stuff,
you know,
like
that's
that.
That's what we will be doing in any case.
Yes.
It's kind of like, what can we do in addition to that to bring everybody on board?
Yeah, and I don't know that we are the right entity to do that.
We, it's like, this is a whole different organization. You know, it's not the MPO, it's not the ACT, it's not, you know, all these other things.
So you think
but
a new
it's
organization.
A specific group of people who are, you know, already informed in their position and connected in such a way that, you know, can affect something and actually come back to us later and say, here's what our work group.
So you're talking about a level of coordination that isn't happening now.
I think at least some, you know, maybe, I mean, as AJ suggested, that at some level the executive groups get together and they coordinate, but to actually have a charge and say, this is our object. And we're going to get somebody from this group and that group and that group and, you know, anybody we can identify here and say, they're going to meet at a certain time and place and, you know, go through the same stretch we're doing right now, saying, well, what is our purpose here?
I feel like 350 Eugene is doing that a lot. Like,
they should be included. They should be on.
Yeah, but not from a position of managing pieces of municipal apparatus.
Right.
Yeah.
I just don't think that is something that we can get into with this committee,
so,
unfortunately.
Okay, so
we can decide to staff a position.
Yeah. So let me, if it's okay, let me make a comment and then bring in what Brendan said, because I think it actually might help us chunk off a piece of this. But then we'll come back and argue about exactly this point, because I think it is sort of tricky to figure out, like, what the boundaries. I mean, I just want to say it is tricky to figure out the boundaries of what we should do, because we're talking about doing new stuff. So I think where I was coming from with CAP 2.0 and offering more meat on the bones there is that right now, that stuff is super vague. And like each of the plans that has climate in it in some way, implicitly or explicitly, is just not binding, and not even, it's not just that it isn't binding, it doesn't have anything to bind with, right? Like it's not specific enough. I encourage you to take a look at the Climate Action Plan, because it will be a refreshing and not at all taxing experience, because there's not a lot of thinking to do. It's all mom and apple pie. It's too much of that, right? It's too much like, here are the things we're doing and other people are doing and we're all loving each other and look at the beautiful infographics, but it doesn't actually lay out specific actions. And so
okay,
I think
this work group, that would be their chart.
Right. So right. Yeah. So let me get to a piece of this that relates to what Brendan said. And I don't know what the division of labor is on this, but let me sort of point out the moving parts that already exist at the local level. So I asked Brendan, I was like, hey, what should we be doing? What would the governor want us to be doing? And I had told AJ I thought we should be having a position, we should be like lobbying. I mean, we should have a voice. And he said, I'll tell you how it would be really productive for you to have a voice. He said, it would be really helpful if you could say, not yes, we're in favor of this or no, we're against it, but instead say, if you proceed down this path, with carbon pricing, toward a low carbon economy, with resources for particular things, that you as a transit agency have things to implement. That when something gets funded, mm-hmm. you have ways to move us, fast and far toward a low carbon economy. Mm-hmm. And so I think we have things we can point to, but we haven't actually like done the carbon math around that stuff where we'd say, yeah, actually, if we kept or added these routes to the Transit Tomorrow plan, or if we forged ahead with pieces of moving ahead faster than we might otherwise, we don't have a lot of specificity about how that is a GHG reduction opportunity. And so there is something to do there. It's kind of analysis of projects or expansion of proposals we have already, but doing an extra level of analysis so we can actually make that case. Because that's where, I mean, his point was that people are sort of fighting about whether stuff is possible or whether it's cost effective or, what we would do if you created new funds for things. And so if we can step in and say, just so you know, if there were more resources for transit, these are the things we would do and these are the benefits that would flow from them, mm-hmm. including climate benefit. I think that actually, that's a fairly concrete one. Before I do the other one, go ahead.
So I think that our fleet management plan is part of what we're working on. That would be great evidence for that. Like if we had all the money in the world, here is the type of buses that we would have, and here's the reduction in GHG and so on and so forth. So I think that that's being worked on currently. The other thing that I heard in there was a GHG reduction in changing of routes. Is that what you said?
Well, think of it this way. Yeah, let me just be clear.
Like
sorry,
because I said from that coverage quickly. To frequency.
No, actually, I meant it differently. I meant it like, let's take you have a certain, assume mm-hmm. you have a certain coverage and frequency mix at a moment in time, mm-hmm. what we have now, under transit tomorrow, whatever. If you then, that is a balance given a particular budget constraint.
Right.
If you relax that budget constraint, if you had another 10% or 20%
what
resources for
it?
Transit, what would that do? What's the additional ridership? What's the net GHG benefit of
okay.
that? So I think that's the spirit of what he was asking for, of saying like, if you had more resources, what could you deliver?
Well, I think we have some of that information, specifically with looking at our Transit Tomorrow projection for routes and the ideas that we've had for kind of like smaller neighborhood circulators that uh-huh. would be electric cars feeding people into the bus system.
I don't want to put too fine a point on this, and AJ may maybe correct me if this is wrong, but I think we don't have that information in the following way. We asked the consultant, and this is fine, I mean, sort of limited budget for the consulting work. We asked for possibilities with our current budget, and with stiff funds and whatever, with a little bit of squishiness. But what I'm saying is, like, we don't have that ability to say, I mean, other than
we
sort
do.
Of hand
we know
waving.
Exactly how much each one of those cars costs with a driver per hours per days based on doing our pilots currently. So we absolutely do have that information.
No, we don't have the information of if you're going to expand the transit system.
If you're going to expand it, yeah. If you're going to add coverage back into areas that yeah. are currently losing coverage by placing an MGO vehicle, yeah. we absolutely have how much money that would cost.
So, yes, though.
That is all that I was
okay,
saying.
Okay. Yeah, so, but I guess I'm saying like that is the most expensive, least like carbon bang for the buck of any service we would offer. I'm saying if you went from a frequency heavy, you know, a frequency focused network with X dollars to a frequency focused network with 1.2X dollars, mm-hmm. what additional ridership and GHG reduction benefit do you get? That's what I'm saying. You're absolutely right that we have picked away at pieces of this and we had estimates of cost per square mile of coverage and things like that. I don't think we have gone all the way to actually quantifying the ridership benefit that we would get and the GHG benefit of that. But almost by definition, that's much smaller than those benefits are much smaller just because the ridership numbers are smaller than if you expand the fixed route transit system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm focusing on that, because I think the high bang for the buck, it's a lot of bucks, but the high bang for the buck thing is having more frequent service in more areas. So that's the thing we would want to quantify. And so I think we didn't quite do that, but we have a foundation for doing it. I'm just saying, as we look to what we might want to be able to say to the legislature, that was clearly the sort of thing he was asking for.
Right.
So yeah. I just want us to keep it in mind. I'm not saying let's go get a consultant to do that in December.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of money to put forward.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not that much given the foundation they might have from the previous work that was done. It isn't going to be free. But
right.
but so let me actually say the second thing. So sure. that was sort of the first overall framing that I think we should bring to the board, that Brendan was really clear. The thing that would be helpful for the governor in the legislature for this effort is to make sure if you had more resources for transit, what could you do with it? You know, what would the benefits be, including carbon reduction benefit? The second thing he said had to do with MPO level analysis. So think back to the, and I don't know who has spent real time with this, but from 2015, the scenario planning that was done. So that scenario planning part, sort of an extension of the statewide transportation, or the statewide sustainable transportation strategy, the STS, all of that work looked at different ways the transportation system could play out locally and what the GHG reduction could be from those. Surprise, surprise, transit would be a big deal. But to make it a big deal, you need more transit. We don't have any newer version of that analysis. All the, as I understand it, and Kelly, you may know more about just like where people have moved around, because I know Josh Roll left and he's at ODOT now, one of the main modelers who did that work. But that the ability to do that, the data for doing that, all that resides at some combination of LCOG and ODOT. And so, I mean, he basically said to me, like, nudge LCOG to figure out, like, what can they do for you on this? Like, what sort of, how could they do analysis that shows if you have more transit, you have this GHG reduction, and like, kind of update it. And part of the reason I'm starting there is that that stuff is already woven into the like the Eugene TSP. It's already kind of sort of part of that ecosystem of planning and analysis. And so I kind of want to poke on that. I mean, to be blunt, I'm kind of bummed that we don't have that level of specificity in the Eugene Climate Action Plan, right? Because we could have that. Or they'd say, to achieve our goals, we need to make sure transit does all of these things. They don't have to come up with a funding strategy for it, but if they could say specifically what they need out of transit based on these other plans, then we could turn around and say, let's do that. By the way, we need another $10 million.
Going back to a work group that would help define that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, you know, totally. And that's why I said like it feels like it's a level of collaboration that's not quite happening right now.
Okay.
So it's all, yeah, I
so
agree.
This is what, yeah. I mean, I was at a Lane Act meeting last night, and ODOT was putting out a presentation, and we're talking about a pilot for Lane Act. And so the Act did agree to participate in a pilot, but everybody's kind of like thinking, well, okay, now what does that mean? How's that gonna fund? But it, you know, I think of just, you know, the Southeast neighbors and the meeting we went just before, and then hearing this and think, well, this stuff could be all put together and we could get more funding, because this is what they're asking for. I mean, instead of, you know, people saying, oh, let's widen this road over here or something, we could say, well, let's put some more money into funding, and if we could do a MGO or some system like that that fills in where the coverage is being lost, that may be an opportunity. I mean, it's obviously something that's not going to happen this month, mm-hmm. but we could set it in motion, and it could, you know, maybe in 7 or 8 months, it could start resulting in something.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, wait a second.
Is that
so
the thing you have to go for?
No, not yet.
Okay.
So I am not hearing any tangible actions that we can take as an ad hoc sustainability committee as a part of the board for Lane Transit District. I do hear...
Should I repeat myself? What's fun?
No. I feel... I hear
you're
you.
Opposed to funding.
I'm not opposed to funding
okay,
a staff
well,
position.
Then you're not hearing me when I
am
say
hearing
that.
You. There just isn't okay. a group that exists to fund a staff position for. So it feels like to me that something would need to happen at a
no,
different
I,
level.
I've been doing this for the last couple of years, of going to all these meetings and asking various different board members and saying, mm-hmm. oh, well, we have a person in that... in Lane County who would be excellent person who would mm-hmm. come. Oh, we have a person at the ESD who could do that. And it's there. We just need to ask for it and have all of these different organizations agree to fund enough time for them, you know.
To me.
So it would be a regular thing. It would be the charge that they would do. And they would get together and come back with something tangible quickly.
I mean, I agree that is a tangible action we could take.
How could we take it?
Well, I'm saying we could create a staff position that is for LTD, that's focused on figuring out the transit piece, but explicitly is charged with collaborating with people at these other agencies to weave that stuff together. I mean, I'm saying it that way because presumably Kelly's job is full and does not consist, well, I mean, she doesn't have a bunch of free time, so I'm just envisioning there is more work to do.
Well, I think there's always work to do, but it's not that Kelly's actually not at full time. There's not enough. She's got ups and downs, but most of her heavy lift is with us right now. But if the city and the county had these more active meetings and Kelly was agreeable, we would make her position full time, but... because we actually, she was...
I thought Kelly was full-time as of January 1st. Is going to be. Is that not right?
That's not something I'm aware of.
Am I allowed to check with
you? You can check with her, but I know she doesn't sign her own stuff, so I'm not sure why you're checking with her.
Oh. okay, sorry. I misunderstood
that
then.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't have that knowledge that that was the case.
Okay.
I have no knowledge of that.
Okay, so all the more reason, I'm just defending Don's point, which is that he is suggesting a very particular thing. There is more to do, there's more collaboration
yes.
to knit together. It takes time, we can pay for time, it's called a staff position. So I'm just saying, that's a possibility. So I just
But she would not be able to be the person that makes the counties and the cities come together.
Didn't,
so who
didn't
is
say,
that person? Yeah. Like, I just don't think that LTD has the power to put these people
I
at
would
the
be
table.
More than happy to go to each elected official in the community and let them know what this committee would like to do. I mean... I would say that's at the higher levels. That's not at the staff levels. If we want to move something in motion that literally creates this kind of more than that climate action plan, it's got to be the higher ups that really say that that's what they want. Because, you know, I could talk to Sarah and she's going to say that's not a direction or here's where we are at.
Mm-hmm.
And unless I get any direction, her council is... supportive of that direction, right? Unless they're saying they're not supportive of that direction.
Well, hold on. Eugene City Council has expressed general support for all of this stuff, right? That's why the Climate Action Plan exists. That's why there's a whole bunch of this ongoing work that the city does. I think there is the problem, I guess, very much from an LTD perspective, the problem with the Climate Action Plan is that it doesn't actually ask for anything in particular related to transit. It's too general to be useful to us. So I can imagine someone over there saying, well, we're supportive of transit tomorrow and moving ahead. What more do you want? And so there's work that's going to fall in between these two entities. And if we hired the staff person, as Donna's suggesting, that person would be the bridge or the infill or whatever metaphor you want to help make that happen and help be specific and say, Eugene, you want to meet these climate action goals? Then, like, here's how transit could do that. We have not done exactly that work because...
And I guess what I'd like to know is what outcome would this committee want? If I know the outcome,
sure,
I can make staffing changes to support your outcome. If you just want a person, I don't, and you don't have an outcome, I don't know how I would direct that person to. So what I would really be helpful is what outcome? You know, if it's that we work to bring our partners to the table, that would be at a higher level. That would probably be Mark and I meeting with the city managers and assistant city managers to see if there's a desire for a collaboration. And if they thought there was that desire and they felt that there was more involvement needed from LTD, then we would probably identify that we either needed more time from Cali or a second person to support, right? But we first have to get to those people that are saying they would want that from us. So I guess from you guys, what outcome do you want? Because a person is not an outcome.
I will just say the outcome of this committee is to create some policy to take to our board around climate change and sustainability. So if I seem a little frustrated, it's because I would love to rein us back into that piece of it. I think that this part of it is a second discussion. I hear what you guys are saying. I see the urgency. I know that there's more work to do. I in my time as an LTD board member, have not seen it be our reach to be able to succeed in working on this level. So this level means outside of the realm of just looking at transit and how we can impact our community positively within transit and transportation. Although I understand and know that that's a huge part of the reduction of our GHG locally. So that's, I'm a little like, I think it's a great idea. I don't know how much work we can do, the three of us, right, in this room, to move
forward
with this.
Maybe we just set something in motion.
And maybe we do. And maybe we actually take time at a future meeting. And I know that Dawn wanted to meet more frequently with this, which is totally fine, to continue this work at a faster pace. But maybe part of the work we do is we ask some of these people to come to the table with us and say, hey, we feel like there's a missing work group. What do you think? School district, city of Eugene? Like maybe there's some other ways that we could
start that. In fact, informally, I have started long ago, just trying to figure out where it could connect. And the connection I found was resiliency. That seemed to be, people responded to that real quick. And easier to connect because the other's a little more amorphous. And how do you do it? But if you think, okay, we've got to plan for an earthquake and we know we're going to be in this, you know, set down, and it's going to be those 2 months later that, you know, after things have kind of worked out but all the systems are destroyed, then you can work on that specific thing because it's very, you know, linear. Mm-hmm. You know, put our things back together. That was kind of an easier sell to get people excited about. Okay, in the process of doing stuff that would say reduce our greenhouse gases, readjust some of the systems the way the community works in to be more sustainable. Well, let's destroy it first with an earthquake and then put it back together, right? But, you know, I don't have the answers. I'm sure there's lots of smart people out there. I mean, I just saw what Mark Schosper had an article in the New York Times that he presented. And it's basically saying the same stuff, you know, like we've got to do something about this rather than just talk. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to find a way to do something.
Yeah, and I think that's what we're doing here. Yes. I just don't know that that part of the conversation aligns with our kind of prompt for this specific
committee. So what is your fallacy? I mean, you want to do a policy.
Well, that's what the board seemed to want. That's what the community wants. And with our policies, and Josh explicitly wanted to create policy around.
We are a governance board, after all.
And that is what we do. We create policy and we help to implement it. And I know that that is not placing a solar panel on something. I totally understand the difference in the action around policy versus direct action. And it doesn't seem like enough, but we currently don't have a policy around this. And so part of it was, you know, I know that Josh was interested in what impact could we have on a state level around carbon reduction and climate change. What impact can we have a local level with that? And so creating a policy to present to the board of directors is the specific outcome for this group. That's what we're charged with. That's what we're here to do.
Before writing that just seems intimidating to me. You know, what words would you use to try to write as a policy that
I got some words
come out and
okay, so a couple things. So first, I just jumped.
You're just
okay.
Fine. Yeah.
Okay. I understand everything you say, Kate, and I actually agree that saying "thou shalt hire someone" is not actually the way we should generally do business. That said, I think maybe then the work is to define where collaboration, interagency collaboration, is not happening, and to say, please go forth, or to say to the board, please go forth and make this happen. The way that will happen will be with additional, we're going to run out of hours in the day for the people who currently are in position, so that will probably mean staffing at some point. So we think it's a reasonable thing to suggest. Let me focus on one piece of this that is interagency collaboration, but will sound kind of narrow, but I'm hoping is one of the places where the rubber can meet the road. So right now, as I said, everyone's got mom and apple pie plans. The city has a number of them. I think the TSP and CAP 2.0 are examples. And there is nothing in there that tells us what to do. And so you say, well, you know, people could come to us and tell us what they want, but as far as they're concerned, they have said, look, they're very supportive of Transit Tomorrow and moving ahead. So they've said something. So there clearly is a gap in between there. And so I think we could do more without saying we're in charge of climate policy for Lane County. We could say, which we're not going to do, we could offer much more of a menu to willing partners like the City of Eugene, and to offer the menu some combination of LCOG and ODOT and consultants are probably the cooks, right? They're the chefs to put together a menu of things that we could do. We are partly doing this with Transit Tomorrow, right? But I want to be clear explicitly, greenhouse gas emissions reductions do not appear in Transit Tomorrow documents. There are references to this as climate action, and it is, but that's not actually, it's a transit plan, right? Or a transit planning process. So I think there is another little bridge to build there. So we can say very explicitly, if you want to reduce greenhouse gas emissions from the transportation system, here's some more specificity. And I say that because there will be resources that we want to chase, either from the city or in collaboration with the city from elsewhere. And so we need to make that, I think, extremely explicit. So that is, if you can help me turn that into board to GM appropriate policy language, that would be very helpful. But I think assembling those menu items is a piece of the work we need to do. What do you think? Is that off? Yeah.
No, that is probably music to my ears. Yes, Transit Tomorrow is much more of a transit comprehensive analysis than seeks the deployment. And yes, the the connection to climate change is not there, and it was not intended to be there. It is actually only one piece of a big puzzle, but I do think that that is appropriate to, as this project moves forward, that we start connecting all the dots upon which what our values are built. To connect it, how the decisions that are made in transit tomorrow support this bigger vision. And so, and this is conversations I've had at the staff level with the city of Eugene. And, you know, I'd hope that through our strategic process, we've had this type of conversation with the board. At some point, to really make a difference in the most effective deployment of a transit system and in making the reductions that we want to make in green gas house emissions, the board would have to support a level of transit system that meets those goals. And that really involves land use. And I've had the conversation offline with city officials and say, if you keep not building housing in a certain way, we're not going to serve it. It's not sure. Meeting the goals. There really should be a level of statement at the LTD board level at some point that says, here's what our commitment is to serving. And a lot of the transit tomorrow is actually your foundation. It tells you where dense housing is. And if jurisdictions choose to sprawl or not responsibly handle that, what we say is we don't have, that doesn't support our mission. We're just not going to take one bus up a loop, pick up five people, and then come back because you built a senior housing in the wrong location. What we're telling you is we'd like to partner with you to say how land use and transportation function together is important to us. Where you put sidewalks, where you make ADA accessible, this all allows for people to not drive, and this meets our goals. And that's what we're looking at, is locations in which we want to support the city in putting jobs, putting residential that we can serve and how we would serve them. But unless we really have a stance, you know, which I'm glad about transit tomorrow, before people would call us, go, can you put a bus route here? Can you send a bus here? And we're saying, we really should not be deploying transit in that way. It doesn't meet our goals anymore. So transit tomorrow, you're right, Josh. It is like one piece, and now it's tying that decision to all future decisions on how that impacts it. And talking to our local jurisdictions and saying, we're asking you for us to be able to do transit more responsibly, that you considered transit as part of land use. Some of the conversations that I've been having with them is
when you say them, you mean the cities?
The cities, not the electeds at the staffing level, sure, and at the higher levels of staffing. Yeah. Is you're making, and one of the gentlemen actually came in and talked about, you're making road improvements without thinking about transit. Like, you're putting us in bike lanes where people could choose to bike. Like, you're not making room for us. You're building all these housing developments where transit has no access. Like, all these curvy areas, we're not putting a bus there, yet people need to access it. How do you build transit where it has walkability, has ability to ride transit and ability to, you know, ride your bikes? And, you know, how are you building that? Because you're basically saying transit's not going to serve that. And I'm seeing them do that. And, you know, I gave the most recent example on Crescent. You know, you just built this, all these housing. Everybody's in an uproar about a new shopping store coming in there. And you never did a cutout for buses. Like, you never thought that buses need to serve that area. Like, why are you not making those decisions at the time you're making all of this development, land use decisions? Like, we want to serve there. That's prime real estate for transit, but we're not included in those decisions. So I am having those conversations, but you're right. Those are just conversations. and there's no obligation, but the you guys tying all of this into a policy really provides the leverage to be able to say, our board will not allocate additional resources because our policy is that you're supposed to be working with us to make a difference. So I'm agreeing with you and saying that is kind of the policy that we're hoping at some point we get from this committee.
That's super helpful. There are a bunch of different pieces there I want to pick apart to understand policy items that we can craft and advance to the whole board. Kate was worried. I was just indulging intellectual curiosity, but I'm staying on task. So I really appreciate what you said about land use. You heard me say a version of that to Southeast Neighbors.
Yes.
A couple nights ago. It strikes me that we have to be able to have like two different conversations. One, what the heck do we do now and in the short term because land use changes slowly, and then that other coordinate, that other conversation that you're talking about. And I think I know some of the examples you're hinting at. There are developments that have been considered that you look at, and you're like, that is affordable housing and unaffordable transportation that you're basically baking into the system.
Yeah,
yeah. Absolutely. So one thing is, I would love to hear from you how we can craft a policy that we could have as an agency where the policy is really just to wave our hands at other municipal governments and say, please build housing in a way that we can serve. I'm not sure what that policy looks like, so I want to hear specifics on that. So that's one thing. I do think we have asked in the past for more coordination with the city around certainly sidewalks, but everything related to Vision Zero. And you and Tom and others have often said, we can't make anybody do anything.
Correct.
Right? So like, you know, that's their thing. Okay, but there's a little bit of tension between that and what you said. Because now you're saying, and this is good, I'm glad you're saying this, I'm not trying to catch you in a lie, I'm just trying to say this is a different tone. If you can help us craft messages that are clear for other governing boards, like city councils or Lane County commissioners, so we can be saying, hey, look, when you do stuff, we're not telling you what to do, because we can't tell you what to do, but here are the trade-offs. So please put that in the hopper. That is something that it's not just they need to hear. They need to know that the public is hearing it from us as well. So like everybody knows what everybody knows. And we have never had a voice like that before as a transit agency. I think that would be huge, right? I mean, just to be able to say. Now, I will say we also haven't done that even in the context of Transit Tomorrow. I mean, there has been no explicit lament in the Transit Tomorrow materials where we've said, sorry you guys screwed up land use for decades, but that's why we're cutting a bunch of these people out. I mean, you could say it in a better way. I don't mean it that way. But literally, we have not explicitly talked about those trade-offs. We have just taken the distribution of people and jobs as given. You know what I mean? In the Transit Tomorrow process. So maybe the Transit Tomorrow process is a leaping off point for us to say that. I think maybe our direction could be for AJ to craft a draft of this, and we can talk about how to do that, but I think that would be great. The city is wrestling, you may know, the city is wrestling with a few land use issues these days. It would be great if we could be seen as a particular voice on that. I haven't pushed you on that too much because I didn't want to make you miserable, but
no, you gave, this is exactly what we are looking. And I will say one of the things we cannot tell the city is where to put sidewalks and push them. And that's why that conversation, you know, I'll push back, but I'm reversing that. And that's why, you know, the policy part, we can't say where we will support transit. What are the conditions that we support transit? And in other words,
what do you mean by that? Because we can't say if you don't build transit there, if you don't build housing there, then we're not going to serve people.
I mean, no, we don't say that. We say here are the ridership models or the models that we are using. And yes, transit tomorrow is the foundation of all that. Here's the model that we're using. And here are the conditions upon which we can be successful in having transit. And when those conditions exist, LTDs can put transit in. When those conditions don't exist, we may have challenges. We don't, but here are some conditions there that are very important to us, and dense housing and jobs and how we all of those pieces fit together are where we encourage transit. And here's an example, and here in the Transit Tomorrow are examples where we made some tough decisions because it didn't meet those accessibility. So we can't tell them what they can and cannot do. What I will tell you that in my communications with the nonprofits, with the housing organizations, and even with the city, where we put transit, they choose to develop. So their LTD does hold a big piece of that puzzle. But in the past, we really haven't done that in a strategic way that was tied to some value. So this is really like, I'd be more than happy to draft something that you guys can then work with that really starts saying, we're actually tying these decisions to some values. And some of them have to do with ridership, but others have to just to do with some sustainability model that we are trying to implement. And you can do that in the deployment of transit, not in telling them, you know, we're not going to do this. But if we're working within that model, it really actually falls in line with a lot of what transit does. Like the FTA doesn't fund certain things. You have to reach that model. So it really falls in line with how transit operates. We just have never really exercised that authority.
So let me just ask a very specific question, because I don't want to take all the time, but I want to give clear direction to AJ to come back with some version of this that we can refine for the board. This sounds more like a board letter or open letter or declaration. It doesn't sound like a policy, only in the sense that we are always going to deliver transit in the form that we as the board representing the community and hearing from the community decide on. So we're not going to, like, you know, lay down some sort of edict about exactly the form it will take.
You can in policy.
Well, then maybe I should just say let's take a look at that. And I think that would be great for us to. But I think the point that I'm hearing from you, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think the point I'm hearing from you is we need to make this logic explicit to other decision makers. So that is part of their decisions as they consider shaping land use. Is that right? Okay. So I say that we tell AJ to go make the first version of that.
Mm-hmm. So is that transit deployment policy or is that climate change mitigation?
You know what?
Mitigation
yes. Well, we would actually probably look at the different elements, but for this committee, we would tie that in.
Okay.
To the sustainability model. So that's where Kelly would take.
Yeah. It's tied in.
Just a question. I mean, like, that's
the, yeah. Those, but we would. Yeah.
We want to make sure it's explicit.
But,
yeah.
That's my question to AJ. You're at the executive level and we talk around to these other agencies. I was just listening to the presentation from ODOT last night and they're doing all this ADA stuff. You know, I've got 2,000 intersections they're going to do.
Seen it twice.
And, you know, I brought this up as a portion, you know, if we're going to redo Coburg Road or something, are you guys coordinating with that? And I got the sense from their presentation that, no, well, that's an important thing. But
good question.
Who is coordinating these things, land use and streets and...
What I will say in the past, and this is where the big policy, you know, conversations are, when we have clear or live policies in which we base all of our decisions, and they have to do around sustainability It has to do around ridership, and it has to do around safety. And we say, here's what is needed to support good transit. And when you're making those changes, unless you consider these elements, LTD will have to evaluate whether transit works or doesn't work there. As I looked at driving around part of this transit tomorrow, some of the routes, and I look at the conditions in which new construction projects have gone in place, and transit, like we are picking up wheelchairs in just dirt, where they have this patch, like brand new, they like the cone is still out there somewhere else, but they couldn't support trans. Yes, like yeah, some of sure. This, and I'm like, it's they don't think of transit. And that's
or
where
brand spanking new detached single family dwellings on transit corridors.
It's just some of those things. Sure. And I just feel like there is no standard for supporting transit. And when we go out and say this is unsafe, they're like, well, you can pay for it. Like, and, you know,
so in doing a policy, we would want to be talking to ODOT as well. You know, we write our policy.
It would be the governing document that I would use in all my conversations about everything that happens on our routes, and not about what they should do, but what about what conditions we support transit, so that they know that if they change that and it doesn't meet something that we can do.
Well, they got a lawsuit, so they have to respond to this thing, and so they're doing all this stuff all over the state, but I don't know whether in their bureaucracy, anybody mentioned transit.
No, they won't. And it's I mean, I've seen the presentation twice.
It has to be put in there.
Once LTD has a stance around transit, I can assure you that we will be able to get some of this done. Again, not overnight, but their future projects will change. Because at the end of the day, after it's all built, the call comes in. Can you put a bus stop in? And LTD traditionally has never said no. But once LTD now communicates in advance and those instances start happening, I can tell you most metro areas, and we're growing to a much more sophisticated and denser, they built it into all their planning, and actually developers and all their public works have to adhere by standard. We're evolving as a growing organization or community, so we haven't reached that level of sophistication, and I think at the policy level, it starts here, so.
Well, and I would just say as a quick aside, I mean, at the Southeast Neighbors meeting, you heard plenty of people having made land use decisions in the sense of buying a home explicitly based on the proximity of a bus stop. So mm-hmm. like people are doing this yeah. already, even if yeah. we haven't
that's
articulated
because
it.
Because the bus already existed there for the last 20 years.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, which they viewed as permanent. I mean, it was interesting you heard that explicitly from people. So tell us what we need to do to give you full direction on this. I just want to articulate this as a to-do item for AJ to do the draft of yep. a first policy by which LTD's board will communicate to other, communicate intergovernmentally priorities or trade-offs related to transit development, like sort of long-term, like big pressures. I don't know how much more direction do we need on that, but I want to. I have a couple things I want, like items at that level, policy items. Do you need more guidance? Do we need to put a finer point on this?
She says no.
No? You ready to go? Okay. Then let me just add a couple of things for your consideration in said future memo. You talked about housing and land use. I think by implication, not just housing, but other development.
Yeah.
I would be explicit about like sidewalks and bike lanes. I think you're already going to do that. But I would just say, let's just bring that in. And then I would also add, I feel like I'm being high maintenance, but add where they ultimately deploy micromobility solutions. So we have a bike share system. We currently have outreach going on related to a future scooter pilot. like, those things should be considered complementary to the transit system. It'd be great if the city is sort of shaping. And I know people from the city are talking to people from LTD on this, but I want to make sure it's explicit so we can, what's that, or they're not.
We were doing this moving ahead thing for 10 years, and it's something I brought up several times.
So
that they're not
I'm an optimist, he's a pessimist. That's weird. Don't be more pessimistic than me. That's disorienting.
No, but Don's done.
Yeah. No, but it's
he's over it.
But I think that's right. I mean, like, let's be honest. We haven't explored those possibilities, and in Transit Tomorrow, we don't have a way of speaking with any specificity or rigor about how bikes and scooters are going to be first last mile solutions. We can wave at them as one goes by and say, look, a first or last mile, but we don't have something clear. So if there's a way you can talk about that as well, that would be great.
There is a way.
Okay. I know. Okay. Enough guidance for AJ on that? Okay.
Okay.
So the other policy piece that Brendan asked for related explicitly to the MPO, to LCOG. So I would just say, if you could go away and find out the state of scenario planning follow-on at LCOG, maybe there's stuff going on I don't know about, that would be really helpful, because that's how we would make the GHG reduction case explicitly related to transit. I mean, is that enough just to say, let's ask AJ to find that out before we start passing policies?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and I know that it hasn't come up at an MPC in a while.
That's where it would come up.
Yeah.
And I think they haven't been given that directive.
Or it wouldn't. Or it goes on, but it doesn't come up. I mean, that's totally plausible, too.
No, it would come
Maybe
up. If it
would come up.
It would come up.
It would come up if MPC, it were going on?
If it was going on, it would come to MPC.
I've seen people not ask about ongoing staff efforts for long periods of time. So I'm just saying, let's be appropriately agnostic. There could be something going on. They have a whole fleet of modelers. They're doing more stuff than MPC is going to hear
You're
about.
You're being optimistic.
Now I'm being pessimistic about it being surfaced.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, but you're right, I was being optimistic.
Okay,
what's going
so
on?
What I hear in what you said is that we are not going to create policy around lobbying, because that is not going to be an effective use of our skills at the state level.
Oh, no, I thought what I heard from Brendan was, Brendan Finn. What I thought I heard from Brendan was, we should very much be prepared to have a voice in a way that we didn't before, to say, hey folks, as you're considering state climate policy, I would say in legislative deliberations, we should be prepared to describe how we as an agency can deliver benefit to the community as part of broader climate action. I think that is absolutely a policy position we could take.
Sure, that doesn't sound like
lobbying.
Well, no. Yeah. Sounds like testimony.
No,
what we would spend.
But we didn't do that before.
Right.
So I'm just
if we had a policy, then any time we have a discussion with any elected official, we'd have
which is
our
the policy that AJ will be working on.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So the reason that I wanted to bring these two pieces to this group is because I think that when we are looking at our strategic business plan, we will need a vision and a mission and vision, for what we're doing. And I feel like where we are as a board, where we are with climate change, where we are in our community, that having these types of statements, what we've talked about with sustainable finances also, that these two pieces might be useful guides to starting to craft some language for a sustainable business plan. What do you two think about that?
So couldn't find the notes I made digitally, but I remember as I look at this. So on the first one, the current phrasing seeds rhetorical ground. I am unwilling to cede, and so I would say it this way. We will provide leadership and sustainability within the Lane Transit District region in a way that advances our core mission of providing people with.
Sure, and I think that what we will want to look at is to make sure that our core mission is our core mission. Like, if this is...
Well, you're defining the core mission right there.
Well, this is what our core mission is right now. And part of what we've talked about at the board level with our strategic business planning is that there isn't a clear mission, that we have a lot of documents, we have a lot of planning processes that have happened, and that this might be a little too much, too wordy.
That this might be too
wordy. Our current
mission, yeah.
Mission, which is in bold. And so basically, I'm not suggesting we use either of these mission or visions, but they do come from the LA Metro cap. And then I just plugged in words that were about what we're doing here as just a total starting point to be edited elaborately, I would imagine. But I just thought I would ask the two of you, because we were looking at a mission and vision, whether it was going to be in policy or within strategic business planning, if you all felt like this was a good place to start, if we want to bring something like this more edited to the board.
So, and I apologize, because I actually looked at that LA Metro document. I'm just slipping my memory. The bold part is copy-pasted from theirs.
From ours.
Oh, from ours.
The non-bold, the regular type font is from there. Them. See. Yep. Well, oh, except for the Lane Transit District.
Yeah, of course. So,
said LA Metro.
I mean, I think this is, I think what you put together is fine.
I like it advancing.
I like that too. Okay. Well, and I think we talked about this, we talked about the policy information that comes from this group kind of helping to create verbiage for a strategic business plan. And that the sustainability and the climate change and those pieces were part of what's missing currently, as well as the complete missing strategic business plan. Am I incorrect in that? I feel like we had that conversation the last time we were here.
That's right.
Or before we formed.
If I seem like I'm hesitating, it's that I don't know what the rest of the...
You know, sometimes I wonder, how do we define sustainability? What does that mean to everybody? Sustainability.
But
we actually don't want to sustain what we've got. We want to adjust what's happening to be more equitable to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. What do you not know the rest of?
Just the context in which we'll talk about this in the sustainable business, plan, strategic business plan.
What I would suggest is that we be able to forward something, a version of this, onto the full board for our board retreat and say, as a sustainability committee, this is what we've come up with and what we would like to see definitely be a part of our strategic business plan, is that these pieces are inherent to the work that we do. And they need to be a part of our business plan.
So if we have the word sustainable in here already.
We don't need it twice.
Yeah. Why do we need to provide leadership?
That's part of our mission. So that's the wording in it is our mission. The bold is the mission copied and pasted from our
website. So what is this mission?
So the first mission was from the LA Metro. Because we talked about it last time the words were, this was great. Why do we need to change it? And so I put our mission with this mission, and this is what came out. I didn't delete anything but the words LA Metro, because that's the conversation that we had.
Okay.
Well, we got to start.
Did what you asked me to do. Yes. So we don't need the word twice. This was a starting point. It's a draft, which is clearly stated on the paper.
Yes. it's most of what's
stated. I did not reduce the transparency. Should have.
Make use of that page.
We should. So part of what I wanted to do was have a small editing session.
This last word, environment.
Yeah, that is.
Ma'am, Cynthia, I'm trying to think. Environmental, we provide the environmental resources for the next generation. You know, looking forward to, what are we really trying to do? We're trying to give a better situation than would be if we didn't do anything. So, an environment can mean anything.
Well, and this may be more vague than we would like it to be, so we can update it. So it sounds like providing people with provide leadership and sustainability. We don't want to have that word there. What do you guys, do you want to edit this? What do you want to do with this? This was my bring back piece.
I guess we focus on that one. Find leadership and sustainability.
So, I mean, I've been through enough mission, vision, statement discussions to know that it's got to have the right pieces that can mean the right things to people, but it's never going to answer the kinds of questions you're starting to get into. Mm-hmm. We're never going to answer what the heck we mean by sustainable in our mission statement, but that doesn't mean we can't use the word and define it elsewhere. The reason I was confused at first, Kate, and thank you for actually doing your homework, unlike some slackers, was that the start of "we will provide leadership and sustainability," I was like, is this a separate sustainability-related mission statement that will live elsewhere? That's why that's what I got confused about.
Which it is in the copy and paste form, but from our conversations, it did not feel like we wanted to create those as mutually exclusive, that we wanted to have one mission.
We want to have one that vision. Has sustainability integrated.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with that. Yeah. So maybe this is about...
And this could be just for our strategic business plan. It doesn't have to be for the organization. Like, the organization's mission can stay, providing people the independence to achieve their goals, creating a more vibrant, sustainable, and equitable community. But for our business plan, this is what we're doing with this business plan. This is the mission of the business plan. And it doesn't have to be exactly what it says right here.
I mean, but the business plan is about the whole agency and everything we do, right?
Right.
So it's still the mission. It's the mission statement is the same.
Yeah.
So when you use the term Lane Transit District Region, we're talking beyond the district.
Well, the district also now has ties to rural and connectors and many things that are not just LTD run.
The region can be, we're doing connection between Albany and Corvallis and stuff like that. So
if that's going to be confusing, then I really think we should just stick with the same mission and define sustainable elsewhere. Sorry, I didn't have clarity about this before, but I guess part of the reason you haven't heard me say, this is what I think our sustainability goals should be explicitly, or this is what our GHG reduction goals should be, you know, specifically, is that we're really affecting the emissions of other people. That's why I think the specificity of what sustainable means ultimately is a collaborative thing that comes with working with the jurisdictions. That's why I'm so focused on what the city of Eugene does, because that feels like that's where the leverage is.
Well, in the city of Springfield.
Yeah, but Springfield isn't setting goals on this, and Eugene is. And Eugene has plans. And, like, I've been critical of the plans, but they have plans. And so that actually provides, that's an open door that we should go through. And so that's why I'm sort of a little more focused on that. I'm not ignoring Springfield, but.
You know, we could just, instead of Lane Transit District Region, we'd be talking about Lane County. But then we're talking about Sweet Home.
I think if we leave the mission,
we don't have to use these at all.
Yeah.
This was just what we talked about last time, and so I followed up on it and brought it back.
So no, you did.
You're
so
welcome.
So, I think maybe at the strategic business plan retreat or whatever, or
it's
retreat is called.
That.
Yes, but whatever,
it's a board
at a
retreat.
I think we have to, we can have a discussion about what we think sustainable should mean in the context of the mission. That'd be good to get people on board. I think the question is whether, for me, as I look at this, and the reason I'm wrestling with it is, I like that you sort of put that language about we will provide leadership in front of us, because a bunch of the things we talked about, the stuff that we're talking about with AJ a minute ago, what I was suggesting Brendan said would be productive in the legislature, those are different forms of leadership. Mm-hmm. We're sort of out there with a very specific voice trying to influence other people, and get them on the same page with us. So the thing that our current mission is missing is an explicit statement about leadership itself. So that might be good to run by the board.
Yeah.
Before we change the mission statement of the organization.
Right.
Well, you know, it usually takes me 3 or 4 days to write a paragraph. So.
Okay. Well, we won't wait for you to wordsmith this right now, but like, but I just wanted to think about those things. What do you think, Kate, would be, well, both of you, what do you think would be productive for the retreat in terms of what form we bring this to people in?
Well, I think part of what will be productive for the retreat is if we have a policy that guides us, that we can help to form our strategic business plan around. Because what AJ has talked about creating a draft of for us would essentially give us guidance on how to work with other organizations and agencies locally to do all of the things that we're hoping to do with our agency around climate change and sustainability and route deployment, bus deployment, so on and so forth.
And we have a why statement, you know, and a what statement and a how statement. And those are all great statements, and they're a very good starting point. What would be really helpful if those statements had some background to them. Like, they don't really have, like, it seems like we got to those statements, and once we got to them, because they're all really good values, we felt we're done, right? We're done. But we never said, like, what policy supports us doing that, and it governs the organization so that we make the decisions really in line with those. So I think what you guys are doing here today is, I think one of those talks about our environmental sustainability commitment, but we didn't, like, we don't have the meat to say this is what we're doing and that's the value we have. So I think what you're doing here is, and that's kind of what is looking at all of those values again and saying, are these all the right values? And if they're not, take them out. And if they are, then how do you build a strategic plan that supports all of those? And you guys, we do have the long range transit plan, but one of my biggest challenges has been is the long range transit plan has a lot of good stuff in it. And then there's like why statement, or have a lot of good statement, but they're never tied together. So nobody does anything with them. And it's a strategic plan really just ties them together and creates really strong policy direction that basically every decision we make about our service, about our, you know, anything, that's the foundational of it all, to create a plan on how we move forward. And that way, you know that we don't know every detail, but we know that the agency never steps out of that direction. And if like strong leadership in somewhere is something we want to say, well, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. So that we know that that's what that looks like.
We do have that in what we do. It says we provide leadership in the development of the region's transportation system.
And then never says like how we, and it stops there, and there's no other governing document that like, and I don't know, my understanding is that was created around the same time that the long range transit, the LRTP, were created, and nobody ever like put them together. Mm-hmm. And that's why like they're both adopted, so they should be governing documents, but they just don't align really well.
Okay.
What do you think?
I just don't think that there's a lot more for us to do here until we get the draft from AJ and that.
Well, I'm going to just rewrite this a couple of times.
Okay, that sounds great.
You know, we'll get
offer us something.
A different look at it.
Yeah, and it's maybe something that we want to talk about more in detail with the board at the retreat. I have zero attachment to these two paragraphs that are not grammatically correct. I'm not attached to them at all. But I do appreciate the thought process around, I mean, if we are going to be talking about how climate change is impacting our community and how we are thinking about climate change at every turn, then we should definitely be touting that in our statements and in our policies. And so this policy, our mission says sustainable, defining that further. I don't think that there's a whole lot more for us to do until we get the information from AJ. And I also think that once we solidify that policy to present to the board, that might be a good opportunity at which if it is accepted by the board, then this committee can take the next step in convening some of the leaders from other organizations and talking about how we feel like this is a huge priority. Mm-hmm. We'd like to have collaborative meetings more often. What's happening now? What can we do to facilitate?
No, that could have a policy statement. We could just hand it out at the Metropolitan Planning organization and the Lane Act and the LCON boards and, you know, the ESDs. And so at least, you know, everybody will walk away with another piece of paper.
Okay, so we have asked AJ to, just to sum up, we've asked AJ to chase down what's going on with the MPO related to GHG modeling for transportation. And AJ, maybe that's fast and you can do that by the board meeting. I don't know if that's like a phone call, right? Like
to get,
hey, LCOG, what are you doing on
That's
scenario planning and GHG modeling. Anyway, so that's one thing. We're going through you.
Yeah,
for
that's a phone call.
Right. Okay. That would be great to get by the board meeting if possible. Yeah. Anyway. The second thing is AJ is going to do a draft of a policy that explains the trade-offs in housing and other infrastructure decisions, land use decisions made by municipal governments and how that affects transit service that we can provide and sort of the cost effectiveness and effectiveness of that transit service. I'm trying to sum up the memo that we're asking for. There is this third thing that I realized that I reported from Brendan, but maybe it got conflated, and that is a decision that it is by us as a board to make it a policy as a board that when there is climate policy being considered, that we will have a strong voice in explaining how we can help provide benefit if that thing passes. I'm trying, didn't do a very good job. I was trying to explain it as not lobbying, but
it's testimony.
We could
it's testimony.
To the whole land use goals.
Well, I think that, I mean, no. This is quite distinct. Hold on.
Worked out.
This is completely distinct. Let me be very clear. This is completely distinct. No, this is completely, actually, in a governance sense, this is completely distinct. Because in the first case, we're talking about saying to local jurisdictions, when you make decisions about land use and related things, whether it's micromobility or sidewalks and bike lanes, when you're making those decisions, that frames the opportunity for transit. Those are decisions very much at the local level. And what I'm saying is, when the state legislature is considering climate policy, that we will decide to weigh in and say, if this marches forward, here's how we can have a role in helping implementation. Here's the benefit that we can deliver, not just GHG reduction, but moving people around more cost effectively, et cetera. So I want to make sure we also have a clear policy statement on that that's quite distinct from what AJ would be putting together. I don't know if you have thoughts about how best to put that together, but that is the policy statement that comes from the board. Yeah.
So I think first off, I'd like to see the draft of AJ's policy statement. For how we work within our local jurisdictions, because in my mind, that informs what then we would take to the state level to give testimony. And so I hear what you're saying, that they are different pieces. I think that in order to bring something to the board, I would feel much more solid about having a policy statement that we've vetted through for how we do business. And then we say, great, now that we have that, if it comes up in the legislature again that we need to take some action on climate change, and we have not just action to take, but the opportunity to collect funding out of that action. Now that we have this policy statement, here's how we can approach moving forward with that. And our other policy is that every time there's an opportunity for that, we do that. But first, I'd like to have the language and how we operate as a district doing business around that. That is what would feel most comfortable to me. I don't think that they are connected in any other way than like, here's how we do business, and that informs then how we approach the legislature.
Okay.
But I think both outcomes are definitely essential and totally doable.
Okay. So then that's reasonable. And I think I agree with you that one will inform the other.
Yeah.
But then that puts some pressure on you, because I don't want us to wait to finalize that first thing and miss an opportunity in the upcoming legislative session where
I know,
but I just want us to show up early and often, and there won't actually be that many opportunities. And so, that's
all. I would say that we could have, if we could have even two more meetings, that we could have something to take to the board, which would be another one. We could even do another one this month, one in December. And then we could have that before the new year or in the January board meeting.
Yeah, that's one thing. Yeah. Okay. So that's good. Thank you for laying out the path. Yeah. If we can have that to the board in the January, and maybe we bring them all in the January meeting, given that December's going to be full of stuff.
Retreat. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Good job.
I guess I'll adjourn us.
Before you strike that gavel, wait, it was close. It's only a pink pen. I don't know why.
It says feelings on it.
It says what?
Feelings, and has a broken heart.
Okay. It's disorienting. Is that a climate reference? So the, I wonder, I want to make sure we're hearing appropriately from Kelly on what's planned for the new year on stuff related to fleet and cost effectiveness of different energy sources and so on. Do you want to do that in our next meeting?
Does that work for Kelly's work plan?
You're supposed to look at AJ when you say that.
Actually, I just met with Kelly to talk about the work that she's doing. She's supposed to be setting up meetings with Mark, Matt, and I. Some of the work that the data that she's collecting and has reached out has not come back effectively for her. So she's kind of really, so what we've committing to doing is meeting with her, looking at what it is and how Mark and I can put some pressure on the people to help us bring that information, because then that just really stalls her work in that area. She redirects it to other areas, but we're in kind of in a hurry to try to bring stuff to you, and it's just like, this data is, we're waiting on it. So she did share with me today the concerns she has in not being able to, where she has some clear gaps in data. So I don't know if she would be ready if we haven't called around to get some of that. But I saw that.
We'll hear what there is to hear. But yeah, I understand it won't be complete. That's always going to be.
So maybe we could look at the second week of December for our next meeting, which just is a few weeks away. Well, I guess that would put us out a month again. My only concern with doing the, like, in 2 weeks is Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No, that's fine.
Nobody's
good. And then the first week of December, I already have 2 days of LTD meetings. So I am not super available.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Catch that coming out? Second week doodleable?
I can send a doodleable. Yes.
Cool.
Talking about the week of the 9th?
Yep.
Do we want to Do you want to just look at calendars now, or do you want to wait?
I don't care. I'm currently looking at my calendar, so.
Yeah, me too.
The 10th looks good for us. Ooh, the other days.
I mean, Tuesday the 10th at 2 p.m., same.
That looks good. How about you guys?
Or actually, our Tuesdays are bad for you.
I typically have,
Let's do Thursday.
To work in a store.
But, yeah, let's do this time.
Thursday works for me.
Thursday 2 to 4.
But does it work for LTD? I can make Tuesday work.
Doesn't.
2 to 4 works.
Okay.
On Thursday the 12th.
2 to 4 on the 12th?
Yeah.
Yes.
On the 12th? Oh. Let's see.
Kwanzaa's pretty important.
Okay, that looks all right.
Okay.
Well, actually, there'll be a link. Well, this is in the afternoon, right? So.
2 to 4.
Don, you're not writing code for a calendar program,
no,
there, are you?
I just go very slowly.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I just set a meeting invite out.
Okay.
Okay.
Does that work for you, Don?
It has to now. Camille was too fast.
Well, we said 2 o'clock.
Yep.
Okay, just checking.
It was
just checking.
December 12th, right?
We are, whatever, unconvened.
Unconvened.
Unconventional.
Okay. All right.
So I'm